He's got too much pine tar.
Sloppy jalopy. They were doing the Chris Davis fishing for it.
Might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes,
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out.
And Steve McMahon.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Too much potter.
way too much potter.
And welcome back to another episode of Too Much Pod Tar, as we've got a packed, pretty packed day today. The day we're recording this is January 15th, and everybody woke up this morning to some big news. It was first reported by John Morrissey at like 6 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast that the Yankees were close to an agreement with DJ LeMahieu to return, and then it took until like 10 a.m., I believe, when Jeff Passan broke it, saying the details of the deal, which were, you know, 6 years for $90 million. So, you know, the Yankees kind of pushed up the years because they want to get the AAV down. So they got, it's only $15 million a year. So it's a pretty good deal when you look at it like that. But yeah, we'll get more into the details of that as also, and also Corey Kluber getting signed with the Yankees as we move forward on the show. But welcome my guest here, Jamie Gatlin, making his return to the podcast. It's been a little while.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, so I didn't remember the last time you were on this. It was like probably last season at some point.
I think so, yeah. I think it was like maybe mid last season.
Yeah. But how are you feeling with all these moves that the Red Sox are making? Really not making any moves, but Yankees are.
You know, the theme for the Red Sox this season has been interested. You know, it feels like you look at every top free agent. Sox say they're interested. 3 days later, they signed somewhere else. So I mean,
yeah.
You know, Rays just went to the World Series, and that team was mostly made by Bloom, which gives me, I guess, a little bit of hope. But, you know, seeing all these guys come off the board definitely isn't the honest thing.
All right. So, yeah, I think the Red Sox are kind of probably going to be towards the bottom of the division this year. Well, I mean, they'll be better than the Orioles, but the Blue Jays and Rays are still going to be above them. Well, obviously Yankees, but it'll be a tough year for you guys, I think. I mean, obviously, they always kind of go through these years. They went through these years after their World Series, you know, in 2013. And they always kind of struggle. But, you know, as long as you still got rings, you still can be proud of those rings that you won over those, you know, whatever, what was it, 4 and 7 years?
Yeah. I mean, you know, looking at them, I agree. I think probably maybe fourth, you know. I mean, they got Eddie and Sale coming back, and yeah, they said, I mean, you know, Bloom has said that they're gonna be pitching basically normally, that they're not gonna hold them back, but they both haven't been, you know, in a major league game in over a year. So I mean, their biggest signings so far have been Hunter Renfro and Andreessy, which, you know, are more depth guys. So yeah, it could be another long year.
Yeah, well, let's dive some more into these Yankees moves. As I said, the DJ LeMahieu signing was for, you know, 6 years, $90 million. So kind of want to ask you, like, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think they went too long for the years, or do you think it's like the right amount of years?
I mean, I think, you know, I wasn't surprised with them, you know, bringing him back. You know, there were a couple weeks there when it seemed like he might not, but just looking at what he's done, that lineup the past 2 years, you can't, you know, the Yankees couldn't afford to let him go. I mean, his first year, he hit .327. Last year, he hit .364. So right, with the year, you know, with the years and money, you know, I feel like that's a good deal with what he means to that offense and having to replace that bat you know, I don't know if they would have been able to replace that.
Yeah, I agree for sure. He's probably the most consistent hitter in the lineup, like being able to make contact all the time, you know, get on base and plays very solid defense. Obviously, we've seen that all the gold gloves he's won. Well, obviously, don't put much in the gold gloves because, you know, the voters don't always get it right. And it's not always the best, the actual defender, like if you look at the, you know, more advanced metrics. But he's definitely, if you just go by the eye test, he's definitely probably one of the best defenders in the league. So he's got that for him. But looking at the deal, like I know the last couple of years, he's probably going to digress a little bit. The first few years are definitely going to be very good. He's still going to be the hitter he's been. So I'll take the last 2 years kind of being a little bit of a, you know, it's not too much money though. So I'll take that at the end of the day.
I agree with that. You know, I feel like maybe those last 2 years he might fall off, but
yeah,
I mean, for most of that contract, the Yankees should be very happy.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely not like, I know I've seen people say, oh, it's going to be another Ellsbury situation. Well, that's not even the same situation. Ellsbury was already kind of declining at the beginning of that when they first signed him. So, and he's also never stayed on the field. So it's not really the same thing.
Yeah, I know that I'll never get over that deal. I was so still in shock that, you know, the Yankees gave Ellsbury that much.
Yeah, it still haunts me.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're out from under it now, so not too mad about it anymore. But then going to the Kluber signing, it's reported that it's a 1-year deal worth $11 million, which is kind of steep for a guy who, you know, he's been injured. He hasn't been the same pitcher since 2017. But I think they see something in him. He had that showcase a couple of days ago. Or a bunch of teams went to look at him. He definitely impressed them. So they're going for it. It's only 1 year, so I think they're hoping that he returns to his kind of Cy Young form. He's probably not going to return to Cy Young form, but he'll maybe part of it will return at least. So that's what I'm hoping for. He can prove something, show something for them, and I still think they need another starter though.
Like you said, I like that it was a 1-year deal. Definitely, like, money-wise, more than I thought he was going to get. But, you know that high-risk, low-reward, worst-case scenario, you know, he gets injured or doesn't perform. It's only 1-year deal. Best-case scenario, Yankees get the Corey Kluber that, you know, everyone has known and loved the past 2 years, and the Sox fans are
yeah,
the Yankees uniform.
Yeah, Klubot. We need that Klubot back.
Yeah, just get that trending.
Yeah, but another interesting part of it too is the Yankees' 40-man roster is currently full, so they're gonna have to dump a couple guys. Maybe I think a trade's definitely gonna be coming soon to make room for LeMahieu and Kluber. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. They trade for a starter like Luis Castillo, even from the Reds. But also, Adam Ottavino's contract is something that they should be able to get off the books if they move him, because he's been inconsistent and they just need to get rid of some of the salary, because they're actually, I believe, they're actually right at or over the luxury tax. So,
yeah. Who would you say is the most likely that you think they'll deal?
That there are trades in a deal for a starter.
Yeah, or who would you like to open up a roster spot? Who you think's most likely to get dealt?
I think if they were to trade for a starter, it'd probably be Clint Frazier. That's because he, you know, his value is at an all time high right now after last season. You know, the way he was able to improve on defense, and he was a very solid hitter. So I don't think he's going to be able to put up the same kind of season, especially defensive wise. I don't think he's going to be able to retain that. But so I think they should try to trade him in a deal. And then The only way I see them doing that, though, is I think they need if they were to trade him, they would have to have a deal with Michael Brantley set up. So, because they need a guy like that, a left-handed batter, like, and can hit with contact too. So,
yeah. I'm interested to see where he ends up. I feel like he's kind of, you know, hasn't even been talked a lot about.
Yeah. That was another thing they did. I think I did see him connected to the Yankees. They were saying that they've been talking to him. But other than that, I don't really see much else. Like, I think the Blue Jays maybe were talking to him. I don't know. But him and Springer are going to be interesting to see where they go.
I don't know. I feel like Springer's might sign the biggest deal of the offseason. I feel like he gets the biggest deal and Bauer gets the biggest, average.
Oh, yeah. I could see that, yeah. How many years do you think Brantley gets?
I feel like probably, I would say 2 years or 1 year deal with a club option for a second. I feel like just with COVID and seeing how slow this market's moved, predicting these contracts, I've given up on. With LeMahieu, I was kind of surprised that it was $90 million, given, you know, how financially baseball's been the past couple months.
Right. Yeah, I definitely think his contract would probably be the same thing, like 2 or 3 years. So, you know, it's given his age too. He's 34, so he's not going to get definitely not going to get the years like LeMahieu. But
yeah, and I feel like for a contending team, you know, I mean, he can still hit. I mean, he would be a good veteran, you know, good veteran presence, fourth outfielder type of situation for somebody.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. That's all the Yankees news that we have with the Kluber and LeMahieu. It was also arbitration day today, so a bunch of teams avoided arbitration with players. I know the Yankees avoided arbitration with all their players. They settled with Judge, Torres, Sanchez, all their guys. I think I can't think out of the top of my head who else, like there were some players that didn't reach agreement. I know the Dodgers with Buehler, they didn't reach an agreement with him yet.
Yeah, I know the Sox, earlier in the day, it was, wasn't expected that the Sox would reach one with Devers, but I think it was 2 hours ago, 2 or 3 hours ago, they reached a deal with, I think it was like $4.7 million or something. But yeah, I mean, I feel like arbitration day is always the day that teams and owners probably dread, and they look at the calendar with a little cringe. I was kind of surprised that Buehler, that they didn't agree to deal with Buehler, though.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised with that. Yeah, he's probably trying to get more money. It's probably because they didn't want to pay him as much as he wants. I mean, he deserves it, though.
He does. Well, I feel like too, when this happens, you know, like players and teams don't agree at all, regardless of what happens, it kind of sets, you know, like a bad relationship. I remember with, after Mookie got traded, it kind of broke 3 weeks after that, you know, he'd been unhappy in Boston since, I think it's the first arbitration process, they didn't agree. And that kind of like set in motion him not wanting to stay before he was, you know, before it was eventually dealt.
Right.
Especially with COVID too, it probably is like not a fun time.
Oh yeah, I can't even imagine how it is like trying to get these deals, and like the way the market is. I just it's gonna be so bad after this year. I think they're gonna probably end up going into lockdown or something. Like, I mean, a lockout because it's the end of the. End of the what's it called?
Oh, the CBA.
CBA, yeah. So it's I don't see them even agreeing on anything really.
I feel like not just for like baseball too, for every major sport, because of, you know, because of COVID. When they, because I don't know, like, the NFL and the NHL. I know the NHL renewed theirs last year.
Yeah.
But I feel like just with sports, you know, we're really going to see that effect. Like, I feel like with any deals this offseason, baseball-wise, a lot of them will be backloaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like the first 2 years, teams will probably go small and be like, and they kind of be like, you know, 2 years from now, we can make up for that.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just so uncertain right now. Like, it's hard to even imagine, like, even think into the future. Like, where are we going to be in a year, even?
I don't know
what's going to go on. Well, I also hate the Manfred so much. Like, and they're pushing for this extra inning rule to still be in place this year, which makes no sense. That I hate that rule. So, like, the runner on second base.
So I feel like you can predict, like, half the time. I mean, I remember just, like, watching games last year, you know, going into extras, you could like, predict half the games before the 10th even started.
Yeah, most of the time that guy is going to be coming in to score. And then, it kind of seems like the same thing anyway. Like, you're going to put a guy at second, and it's more likely they're going to score, and then the other team might score two, and then it'll be a tie game still, and then it's still gonna keep going. So it's like not really doing anything for as far as how long the game is. It doesn't change that.
Exactly. I think it was a Pirates game last year that they did it like back and forth for three innings, and it still went to like the 15th or the 16th. And I just remember watching that game. I was like, was this the one thing they were trying to avoid?
Yeah, it's so stupid. Like, I understand the seven inning, like, doubleheaders, like, as far as scheduling wise, because they want to make sure that they get all the games in because obviously with COVID, they're going to be, there might be games canceled again. Like we see in the NBA, like almost every other day, games being canceled. But that's okay for this season, like seven inning doubleheaders. But I just don't understand the other ones. Like, they can't even decide on the DH, like, if they're going to put in the NL. Like, they can't make up their mind with that. They're not going to make up their mind with anything.
Oh, I mean, if like the DH, that's, like, the easiest one out of all of them.
So, yeah.
You know, as much as we all love watching pitchers hit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when Mad Bum hits one, though, he can hit some bombs when he... like the one, not one every 60 times he connects.
Right. Yeah, but what's it called? Bartolo's not around anymore, so I don't really care about seeing it.
If they did a home run derby with Bartolo, I think that would get the highest ratings.
Definitely. They should definitely do that this year to get more viewers in.
I think they threw with that last year, and it's like, you know, if you want to get people to watch the game again, just like I do, Bartolo, Greinke. I'm trying to think of guys that would be like entertaining to.
Yeah.
But yeah, Randy Johnson, maybe throw Randy Johnson in there.
That'd be interesting. Oh. Just have a home run derby with all pitchers.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like bets that night, Vegas would probably have like a record night.
Oh yeah, who doesn't want to see that? Like,
honestly, yeah. I do. I'd stay up all night to watch that.
I would. Yeah. What other stuff we got going on?
The Padres. I don't know about you, but I am on the Padres bandwagon this year.
Yeah, me too.
Slam Diego. They were fun to watch. You add Snell. I just feel like, too, we talked about this a little earlier, but the two teams, the Mets and the Padres, have really gotten into this offseason. I think that's great for baseball.
Yeah. I mean,
get the Padres, they get Snell this year. They get Clevinger off the injured list next year, and that rotation will just be stacked. I know 2 days ago, there were rumors from someone at ESPN, I forget the reporter, but there are rumors that Tatis in San Diego basically had already agreed on a $300 million deal for like 10 years, something in that range.
Yeah.
You know, you have Lindor in New York. I just love seeing all these teams kind of, or those two teams, you know, just like going for this offseason and just telling their fans, you know, we're going to try to compete.
Yeah, I definitely got to be happy for their fans. Well, especially the Padres, because they haven't done anything over the course of their history. You know, they've been to two World Series, but they didn't win. So but to see them going for it now, finally, that's definitely something to cheer about.
What would you make your guess for wins? I feel like they could win. I would go 95, maybe. Like 95 to 97 is going to be my bold prediction for them.
Yeah, I could see that. I was going to say probably like 90 for me. And yeah, I think they'll get a wild card. So, I mean, obviously, because the Dodgers are still going to win the division, but I think maybe next year is when they can maybe compete with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But this year, I think they're still fall short. Dodgers still winning over 100.
Yeah. I mean, just the, you know, that what they've done with free agency and then just like development and training for guys. It's Friedman who's still the GM there, but he's just built an absolute tank.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch. Oh my, like, I can't wait.
See, this is why I can't wait for baseball to start. Seeing that battle, I feel like, you know, the Padres and the Dodgers, that's going to be a battle for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, we'll just have to see what happens with the, you know, once Kershaw is out of there, it's going to be interesting what the Dodgers do moving forward from that, because other than him, I mean, they have Buehler, but other than him, they don't really have much pitching.
They got May too, right?
Yeah, but I feel like he's more of a bullpen guy at this point.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I remember when they did the Mookie trade, I was like hoping they put him in that package, but.
Oh yeah, that would have been a good one. Yeah,
I'll take Verdugo.
Yeah.
But should we do some award predictions?
Yeah, we could do some early award predictions. I don't know, do you want to start with the AL?
Yeah, I saw one. I brought this up because I saw one prediction this morning. I was actually crafting a Rays article. A writer predicted that a resident, Randy from Tampa, I'm definitely butchering his last name.
Rosarena?
Yeah, would win Rookie of the Year and MVP. I don't know if I'm ready to be that bold.
No.
I definitely feel like he could win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
I mean, just what he did in the playoffs last year, that was unreal. So he would probably be my pick for Rookie of the Year.
That's a good one.
Cy Young, I don't know actually about that one.
I'll jump in on the Rookie of the Year. I'm going to stay with the Rays, though, and say, I'm not going to say a Rosarena, but I'm going to say Wander Franco. The number one prospects in baseball.
Actually, I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him make his debut.
And then one of those guys they trade for will probably win the Cy Young this year.
Yeah, probably. Let's see. Rookie of the Year. I'm trying to think. I mean, Cy Young. I'm trying to think who I would say.
I was kind of feeling the Snell pick, but then actually, I'm going to go with Bieber for that one.
Oh, back to back?
I feel it back to back. It's because what he did last year in a shortened season,
yeah,
he can do that again in 162, or even, you know, if they even get in 162, I mean, he was just dominant last year. That was fun to watch.
I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to say it's going to be Cole. Well, I said the same thing last year. He didn't win it, obviously, but I think this year he didn't even have his best stuff this past year. I think he's going to come out and be the ace that we always knew he would be. Just be completely dominant, like, for the whole season, basically.
Yeah, he would probably be my runner-up.
Okay.
I kind of want to go. I mean, my heart tells me to go with Trout, but I kind of want to switch it up. And you know what? I'm going to show some White Sox love. I'm going to go with, I feel like, Abreu. He was a stud last year. I mean, he's always been good, but the White Sox are getting better. You know, he obviously has a better lineup around him, so I'm going to go with Jose Abreu. Going to speak that one into existence.
You're going with the back-to-backs.
I know. I'm all about the back-to-backs tonight.
Let me think. Let's see. MVP. I know it's always so tough to say someone else besides Trout, but it's like kind of more fun that way because it's like he's always going to be in the conversation. So, like, you know, he's going to be up there.
No, I have the odds right here. It's Bregman's. Bregman has the second highest odds, then Abreu, then Judge. We may even call it Garrett Cole's in there too. Yankees have a lot of. Yankees got a lot of representation in the odds right now.
Rightfully so. I'm going to go, actually, I'm going to go with Springer. I'm going to say he signs with the AL team and he wins it.
I like that. I feel like the Astros just collectively last year, you know, obviously they got all the crap they got, deservedly so, but
yeah,
like, you know, like him, Bregman, Altuve, definitely they didn't have the years that we're used to seeing from them last year. But I also don't think that was a product of the whole scandal. I think they were still, you know, really good players. I like that Springer pick a lot. I feel like all those guys are going to kind of show up to camp with a lot to prove.
Yeah. I sadly agree with that, man.
You know, I mean, I hate to say it as a baseball fan, but at the same time, there's probably not going to be a more determined lineup of hitters than the Astros.
No, probably not. But do you want to do comeback player of the year for that? Or
yeah, I mean, I would be a homer.
Well,
go with Sale. He can keep his arm from falling off. I just think he is probably one of the most intense players in baseball. And after missing a whole year and having the Sox finish in last, he's probably going to be the most motivated player on that staff. You know, if he comes back and to be the Chris Sale that everyone has been used to, you know, then I feel like he has a good chance to win that. So that's, I mean, I was like, I think he's going to be on innings limit, but, you know, if he pitches ERA under 3 with, you know, his large strikeout numbers, Sox might not finish in first, but they could get some nice hardware there.
Yeah, I could definitely see him coming out strong. I'm trying to think who had like a bad season, down season in 2020. I have one. What's his name? Baez. I'm gonna go with Baez.
I like that.
Oh wait, that's for the NL, but I gotta come up to the AL. Well, unless he's traded to the AL.
That's true. Maybe, you know, insider take right here.
Yeah. I mean, Bryant's going to be traded, so why not Baez too?
I know. It's going to be weird seeing the Cubs completely kind of dismantled there.
Yeah. I can't think of any other players that were like hurt or had a bad year.
I'm trying to look up Altuve's numbers to see what he finished with last year.
Actually, I'm going to go with Yordan.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Altuve, 219. Ooh, that 219.
And how many errors did he have?
He had... Oh, hold on. So last year, he had 4 at second. Yeah, he had 4 errors.
Really? That's it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess he had more, like... Like, if you look at the other stats, like the... What's it called? The other, like...
Yeah. And that doesn't...
Like, his range wasn't good at all.
Yeah. And that doesn't add the ones from the playoffs either.
Oh, yeah. I thought he had more than that, though. It kind of seemed like he did.
I don't know.
Well, that's why a fielding percentage is, like, a crapshoot.
I know, that's... Like one of the worst statistics. It's like using plus and minus in hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the stats you just can't look at when you're talking like whatever, awards or anything.
Yeah.
Or especially even Hall of Fame, too. Like.
Yeah. The Peter, I think it was, wasn't there one writer this year who didn't even vote for anyone?
Yeah, I forget his name, but there was one. Oh, there's another guy that voted just for, what was it? Who did they vote for? Some guy that, Jeff Kent.
Oh, yeah, that was, I think that was Dan Shaughnessy that, yeah, he did the Jeff Kent vote.
Yeah, that was terrible. Like, how do you get a vote if you're just going to vote for Jeff Kent or nobody?
I know. I feel like especially, the steroid thing is hotly debated, but... I feel like some of those guys, like Clemens and Bonds, even if they didn't, they probably still would have put up Hall of Fame numbers.
Yeah, they would have. And even somebody like, if you want to go more into like the Hall of Fame talk, is like, well, we got the announcements coming up in like, 10 days, so that'll be a hot button topic. But even somebody like, I wrote the Hall of Fame case for him on Manny Ramirez. Even somebody like him, he had a very good season. Let's see, with the Indians, the Red Sox, but then he got caught at the end of his year. His
go with career, rookie like, of the year first
last couple years. So it's like,
let's see what rookies are there.
I don't know. He was good up until that point, and then he went to the steroids, so he would kind of avoid like the downfall of his career.
To only win like
so games. Like two bad. Yeah. Years down his career, he had 2 seasons where he got caught using steroids. I might go with somebody. I think he's another guy that deserves to get in. Maybe Sixto. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Sixto Sanchez.
Just based off
the Marlins,
Manny being like Manny. Moments. I mean, Hayes last year.
Even as a Yankees fan, I had to love that seeing that.
He was a stud for Pittsburgh. Going into the monster
down the stretch, he gets the power. He got on base.
His own teammates.
He was amazing defensively. And yeah, he's gonna.
He's gonna be good.
Pirates fans probably won't have a lot to cheer for this year, but at least you have Key Brian Hayes at third.
Right. Yeah. And as we talked about the Phillies before, I think Spencer Howard will be a good guy in there. In their rotation, too. So, so I guess MVP.
I'm going to go Bravos, and Ronald Acuna Jr. would be my pick.
I like it. I'm going to go with Juan Soto.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I think the Nationals will have a better year this year, too. Like, I mean, obviously, it doesn't mean anything for MVP, but I think they'll have a bounce back year and be in contention again.
Yeah. I feel like everything went wrong for them last year that possibly could have.
Yeah. And they never had the chance to, like, bounce back like they did in 2019.
Yeah. You know, I feel like the East is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year with the Nats. You know, the Mets obviously are better. That division is going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, because even the Marlins are going to be in contention again, probably.
If the Marlins make another playoff run, I think that's the best thing for baseball.
Yeah.
You know, if we can get the Miami Marlins to have two straight seasons above 500, I feel like that's something that hasn't happened in a century.
No. Probably not. Well, they only made two postseasons, or three postseasons now, so...
But usually they go to the World Series when they do, so I guess Jeter has that luck going for him.
That's true. So, let's see. Cy Young.
I think I'm going to go Buehler. I think it might be the year of Walker Buehler.
Yeah. That's a solid pick, too. I'm going to go, since I was saying about the Nats improving, I think actually I'll go with Strasburg. Maybe I was thinking maybe Scherzer, but I'm going to go with Strasburg, actually.
I like that. Can channel his postseason heroics from 2 years ago.
Yeah. I hope so. He's always been somebody I like to root for. Like he always struggled there with injuries and stuff, but
I feel like during, you know, the World Series, that was seeing him succeed the way he did was a cool thing to watch. I just remember his major league debut when he struck out 17 or however many Pirates he struck out. Yeah. You know, that was one of the most dominant pitching performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That comeback. I'm trying to think of comeback.
Well, I said mine earlier. It was Javi Baez.
I might copy you and go with that one. Because I mean, when he's on, he's one of the most entertaining players to watch. And last year, he just wasn't that guy we're used to seeing. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna hop on the Javi Baez train.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely bounce back. I don't know what how the Cubs are gonna be this year. They already traded the Cy Young runner up, Yu Darvish, and they're probably gonna trade Bryant at some point. So they're not gonna be good as a team probably, but I think Baez would be like the main guy in the lineup. Well, especially if Bryant is traded, he's gonna be pretty much their really one of their only hitters.
Yeah.
Him and Ian Happ will be the main guys.
Yeah.
Well, even Ian Happ could be traded. I don't know.
Contreras is probably out of there too.
Yeah. That's pretty much just going full. Full rebuild.
I know that one I've been kind of surprised about. You know, I feel like they still had, you know, maybe a year if all those guys bounce back.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously you gotta do what you gotta do. But see, I feel like that's like, you know, kind of sad too, in the sense that when they won the World Series a couple years ago, they were just a really lovable team.
Yeah. Everybody thought that they were gonna be a dynasty.
I remember, you know, watching that, and I was like, Theo's done it again.
Yeah. Oh yeah, speaking of Theo, that's another thing that we could talk about. How he's now he's taking a job with the commissioner. What is it, on field operations or something?
Yeah, I mean, he had a really good quote the other day just about growing the game. I honestly think he's going to be the commissioner at some point.
Yeah.
And you know, I think you know Theo. He's a guy that loves the game, and he, you know, he won two titles in Boston. He won a title in Chicago. Anywhere he goes, good things usually happen. So I feel like, you know, as baseball is trying to expand the game, having Theo, you know, kind of in a role that helps with that is only going to be good for baseball.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, anybody's better than Manfred.
That is true. He's probably – I remember just watching the the speech when he gave out the trophy to the Dodgers. He was just getting completely blasted on Twitter.
Yeah, he looked like, I don't even know, like, either he was having a stroke or he was, like, high or drunk.
I don't know, that was painful. I was like, dude, what's going on right now?
Yeah.
That's most of the baseball news right there.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But we'll see what happens. There's going to be a lot of other shit going down.
I feel like kind of this next month as spring training gets closer, we're going to see a lot of action pick up. Because I also feel like, too, part of this is with COVID. You know, Manfred said to expect 162 games, expect a full spring training. But, you know, obviously things could change. And yeah. Team, you know, probably at the point right now where they don't want to make a bunch of commitments with all the uncertainty. So I kind of feel like getting up February. Well, these guys are gonna find some homes. Maybe we see a few blockbuster deals. You know.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to see what happens. Like, how the Yankees make their roster moves to make room for LeMahieu and Kluber. We'll see what they do. What trades they make.
I don't know. I feel like the trade market is definitely going to heat up before the free agency. Like you said, with you know, the Sox have a couple of trade rumors out there, the Cubbies.
Yeah.
It's going to be – I feel like we're at a point where it's been slow and we could get a couple weeks here when it's just day after day there's something different breaking.
Oh, yeah. It's making up for all the time we've missed without having anything.
I know. I need more Jeff Passan bombs in my Twitter feed.
Yeah. And it's crazy that they actually, like, for the Kluber move, the guy from Talking Yanks, Talking Jake, he actually was the one who broke the news, like, for Kluber. Because he tweeted out, like, 12 minutes before Passan did. He was like, what did he say? He was like, hey, Jeff Passan, a source told me Corey Kluber is signing with the Yankees pending physical. And he was like, can confirm. And then 12 minutes later, Passan was set, like, he broke it. And then later, he actually gave credit to him. So
if I ever get credit from him in anything in my life, that's how I know I've peaked.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's how you know you're doing it right.
Yeah. Because people even, like, if he didn't give him credit, people would still be probably just like, oh, he just guessed. He just guessed it was going to happen. But since he got credit, people actually realize he actually has legit sources.
Kind of want to message him and be like, teach me your ways.
Yeah. That would be awesome so that be able to do that.
Yeah. Definitely. That would definitely be a pinnable. Terrible tweet.
Yeah. Now he's got to get his check mark.
See, we don't ask for a lot.
I wonder if prime time is ever going to get a check mark.
You know, I feel like 2021, it could be the time that happens. So, people show support.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see. Got good things coming from prime time in the next few months here.
Yeah, definitely exciting. I think we'll, especially with the all pushing up the continent, you know, getting all these free agent profiles that we did and the Hall of Fame cases and stuff and all that stuff. And then, you know, with the NFL draft too, we're doing a bunch of scouting reports, probably doing like at least 200 scouting reports. So,
gotta give the people what they want.
Yeah, all the betting stuff, we do a lot of that stuff too.
Anything sports fans want, we got it.
Yeah, of course there's always this podcast too.
Exactly. It's, you know, your favorite weekly thing to listen to. We got baseball takes, we got James Harden takes.
Yeah, we got food takes even sometimes.
You know,
you got everything.
All viewers welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it though. That's, don't really have any other news to talk about yet. So maybe when we wake up tomorrow, there'll be something else that drops. Got another passing bomb.
I'm mentally preparing myself for that.
Yeah. The great thing about today, I was off of work, so I was able to just like take it all in.
Oh, look, I was literally at work, just but I mean, we were dead because, you know, it's COVID, so no one's shopping. I was literally just behind the register, just refreshing my phone every 5 seconds.
Yeah, tomorrow I got to go to work, so if there's anything tomorrow, I won't be able to see you right away. But
I work tomorrow too, but there's two other people working, so I'm about to be like, guys, prepare yourselves because I'm going to be on my phone half the time.
Yeah, because I know there's going to be some other moves going on.
Yeah.
Like, now that we've caught fire here, it's going to keep moving.
So the hot stove is simmering.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my kitchen burned down.
Okay. If your kitchen can survive the Padres moves, then that's the ultimate test right there.
Yeah. So yeah, we've got some more content coming also. Now before the Hall of Fame announcement, I'll be looking to do another episode talking more into detail about that. We gave a little bit of our insight on it on here, but I'll go more into detail on that one at some point next week, you know, before the announcement, which is the 26th, I think.
Yeah.
So, and then also after they announce the results of the voting, I'll be doing one breaking down that. I think, well, Johnny will be back on here for that. So he'll be joining me along with anybody else who decides they want to come on. So yeah, that'd be fun. Go over some Hall of Fame stuff and then also look forward to next year because, you know, we got other steroid guys, A-Rod and Big Poppy, coming on next year. So
Big Poppy is a national treasure.
Yeah.
For all the Red Sox fans listening, I'll defend Poppy.
Yeah. Yeah, but that'll be interesting to talk about that stuff. And we'll see if Bonds and Clemens are voted in this year. And if not, it'll be their last year next year. So I know they're, I think they will be voted in. I don't know if it'll be this year. I feel like a lot of people are still on the fence, but I kind of feel like people are still just going to vote them in, even if, like, I know last year, like, especially next year, we don't really got many other people that are, will be on the ballot that deserve votes. Like, yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think they will get in, even if it's the last year on the ballot.
But, yeah, I agree.
Go ahead.
I mean, I was going to say, I feel like if any of, you know, if any of the steroid guys are going to get in, it's going to be those two.
Yeah. Those are definitely the main ones. And then if they do get in, then I think it opens the door for the other guys. Like, well, especially Big Poppy and A-Rod.
Yeah. You just need one of them.
Yeah. What was I going to say? It's going to be crazy that, like, if they both get voted in this year, it's with the whole thing with they're putting the both of them, both 2020 Hall of Fame and 2021 together on the same ceremony. Like, that's going to be a packed ceremony. It's going to be, like, if they get voted in, it'll be Jeter, Bonds, Clemens, and then, you know, the other guy, Larry Walker, and all the other guys that got voted in last year, and then whoever else is voted in, which is, I think it will be more than just Bonds and Clemens, if that's who it is. I think it'll be at least Bonds, Clemens, and at least one other guy. Maybe someone like Scott Rowland.
Yeah. I love Scott Rowland getting in.
Yeah. So it could end up being up to like six guys getting voted in. I mean, getting the ceremony at the same time.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah, I just hope that we can actually go to it, because I'm definitely gonna go if they allow people.
Once we can, yeah, I agree. I mean, I can't wait until we can go back to, you know, games, and if COVID's made me cherish anything, it's being able to be in the stands and pay $10 for a hot dog.
Yeah.
I will now gladly do.
Yeah. And $20 for a beer.
You know what? That's why you drink a little before, so the beer.
Yeah.
That's that.
True. Yeah, that's why you got a tailgate.
Or Johnny would probably have some whiskey out there, you know.
But yeah, that's about it we have for you today.
But it was good. It was good being back on.
Yeah, good to have you back. But yeah, as I said, as we look ahead, we'll talk about all the other moves that go down as they happen. And talk about the Hall of Fame next week. So. Yeah, some exciting stuff going on. And as we talked about, check out all the content on our site, Primetime Sports Talk. As, you know, this offseason's been getting rolling. And got the NBA and NHL season going. And NFL playoffs are happening. So it's a big – right now is big sports time. A lot of things happening at once. So –
It's the best time of year.
Yeah, I mean, even better is when there's baseball on too.
I know. Two few months here, we'll have hockey, basketball, spring training.
Yeah.
So 2021 is gonna be better, people.
Yes. Yes, it will. Oh, I was trying to wrap this up, but I'm thinking back to like last year. I remember at like the All Star. No, wait. I mean, yeah, I was thinking back at, like, before we got a season, like, I think in, like, June or something. Like, Johnny was on here. I was talking to him about, like, we were saying, like, oh, the second half of the year is going to be the best. We're still going to have a great year, like, the great second half. And, like, we're going to get baseball back. We're going to get all this shit back. And then it still didn't really get much better. It pretty much got worse after that.
But
yeah, so, now we're in a new year, so.
Exactly.
It's only up from here. I mean, you can't get any worse than what we had.
I know. You literally can't.
Like,
that's the faith I'm holding on to.
We hit rock bottom.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I'm excited for, you know, Super Bowl being in a month, so we'll less than a month. So I'm excited to see, to watch that.
It's gonna be, hopefully Tommy Brady can make it back.
I don't want to see him again.
Hey, him and Breeze are the two oldest teams are matching up this Sunday or Saturday, whatever day that is.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good one on the History Channel.
it's a once in a century event.
Yeah. I'm hoping. I'm pulling for the Bills to make the Super Bowl.
I would love that, actually. A little Josh Allen raising the Lombardi.
I'm gonna go with Bills Packers as the Super Bowl.
I like that, actually. I wouldn't. That would be a great Super Bowl.
Yeah. That would be really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like the one of the best quarterbacks of all time against one, maybe a future greatest of all time. Like, really bringing in the new blood.
Yeah.
But honestly, I want to see the Browns beat the Chiefs actually this week. Yeah,
that'd be the, like, it's the, that might be the upset of the century if that happened.
That would be incredible. Like, as much as I like Andy Reid and the Chiefs, like, I mean, they had their time last year. I just want to see. I love seeing upsets. So I mean,
yeah, that would be, whoever would bet on the Browns for that would have a very good night.
I might actually put something on that. All right, what's the line? I don't even know what this line is right now.
That's a good question.
Let's see. Because if the line's like semi like big, I might actually just put the, I might at least put the Browns to cover the spread, not actually like, I'm not going to bet on them outright, but I'll bet on them to cover the spread.
Yeah.
Let's see what it is. Browns, Chiefs, line. Maybe I should just go to the ESPN. Oh. It's -10 Kansas City. That's a tough one. I don't know. I feel like they can maybe get within a touchdown, but at the same time, the Chiefs can always pull away easily.
I really feel like that game's going to be a closer, actually. I'm happy you brought that line, because, I mean, you know, to bet against KC in that game would, you know, that would take some confidence. But I just feel like the Browns are a scrappy team.
Yeah.
And Baker's, you know, Baker. So I would give him a touchdown.
Yeah.
Difference. I feel like, you know what, actually I like 10. I feel like it's going to be like, I could see it being close going into the fourth. And then the Chiefs, you know, score like a touchdown and a field goal in the last six minutes to kind of pull away and take it over.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Browns fans, I'm giving you hope.
Yeah.
Any Browns fans that listen to this, I'm on your side. I think that's all in the sports world.
Yeah, so as we can continue wrapping this up here, I'll finish it now. I'm not going to go off on any other tangents, but as I was saying, yeah, let's keep listening to the pod and looking out for the content on our site. And yeah, just a reminder, you can never have too much pod tar.
Never.
Never, ever.
That's true.